tell what kind of person a mother is by the kind of children they produce.
Right.
And boy, she knocked it out the park with you. That's all I can say. You're a very impressive young man, and you got to give credit to your mom. And of course you would, but I'm just saying, as a person standing on the outside looking at the two of you, I'm telling you, it's a joy. You guys are just wonderful. She and I talked about her teaching and, you know, her use of, you know, color and her parenting philosophies, and, you know, we were comparing notes, and it's just a great conversation. I felt like I was meeting an old friend. You know, we really hit it off. She's just amazing. And then, you know, the thing I was able to share with her about you is how you took, and she used the term dinosaurs, and I said, yep, that's right. Took us out the cave. What I said is that you looked at the ship that was in the middle of the ocean, and we were heading in a certain direction. We had all of our little gears going, and there we just leaning together. Oh. Right. Turned that boat completely around, 180 degrees. And it sent us off on a new direction completely.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's just wonderful. You know, you had the patience and the vision to do that, and the ability to share that so we could see it and feel like we had access to it. You know, sometimes you see people doing stuff, you say, oh, well, okay, they did that. That's fine. It's got nothing to do with me. Right. But, you know, you made all of this accessible to us. Mm. So, you know, I'm tipping my hat and patting you on the back and doing all of that. It's just, you know, it's a wonderful journey.
Well, let me tell you this, Emma. Thank you so much. Wow. First of all, I'm kind of like speechless right now. And as you know, with me, with the way that I can talk, or as people would say, that I can go, you know, it's very seldom a time when I'm speechless. But I really am, and it's really for a couple reasons. Number one, you know, and probably I would say the most important one is, as they say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Mm-hmm. So everything that you're saying to me is nothing but a huge reflection of my mother and mm-hmm. how she has actually impacted me and taught me and, you know, weaned mm-hmm. me and all those things to, mm-hmm. you know, help to mold and shape the man I am today. So that makes me, you know, happy because I celebrate my mother, you know.
Yeah,
And that kind of thing. The other thing, too, is, you know, as you see while you're saying these things to me, I have the biggest smile, you know, I'm grinning from ear to ear. And the reason why is because that part of this process is 99% of why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that the feeling that I feel inside right now from just you giving that back to me, you know, and starting to talk about just how it's, you know, impacted your life, and as well as the, you know, the project and all the things that we're working on, it fills me up. It's like it's more than money could buy, you know. I just can't even express it in words. It makes me really, really happy to do things like this, and to use what I have to help others and to help them to, you know, reach their goals or to make themselves happy, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I'm addicted to it. And the best part is, you know, once again, it's because of mom. You know, my mother brought me up here. Here she is, a school teacher mm-hmm. you know, for 30 years. And, you know, I was the kid that grew up with, you know, at 2 years old, where everything in the house was labeled, you know, all the words mm-hmm. was everything. And we had the encyclopedias, the old red and gray ones, I think they were, you know. Exactly. You know, I grew up mm-hmm. with that right there and the dictionary right mm-hmm. next to it. And, you know, I just grew up in a household where for my mother, education and exposure was important, you know. And so mm-hmm. she was able to give me that gift of education mm-hmm. and exposure to so many things at such a young age. And it's the thing that I'm most grateful for out of everything mm-hmm. because it was the best gift that she could have given me. Because it's the gift that keeps on giving. You know, if you, the more education and exposure that you give to a child, the more you're setting them up automatically to be an asset as well in the future to everybody that they're connected to.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Michael's calling me. Hold on.
No problem.
Yeah, yes. Okay. I hate to do this, but I gotta run just for a second. I'll be right back.
Yeah, no problem at all. So everybody, this is Miss Emma Brody, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm so glad to be able to talk to her today. She is one of the most wonderful people that I know and that I've met. She reminds me so much of my mother. She's a sweetheart, as you'll see. She's very creative, very much an organized and just pleasant and sensitive and mindful, just a balanced, human being, who also has an amazing gift of writing. I say that she's an incredible conversationalist, incredible conversationalist. So what you're going to find out even as we talk here is she's now found a new home in interviewing people. And so now this is taken on a life of its own through a project that I've been helping her and her church, the spiritual arts ministry of her church. I've been helping them with doing some things with Facebook and utilizing social media in order to reach their ministry goals. And in it, she's found, a new hobby, and now something that's turning into life work and legacy work and these kind of things. So we're going to talk today about me helping her with sharing some ideas to really help her on that way. I've been really fortunate to use social media and use the internet now, for, let's see, 2006 is when I decided to get my first email address, so 13 years. And during that 13 years, I've been a full-time musician and entrepreneur, so I've had the ability on a day-to-day basis to explore. Hey, Miss Emma. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. I got you muted. Hold on. Okay, I just asked to unmute you. Can you unmute your mic? There we go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. I thought something, really for a second, I thought somebody had died. Oh. But no, we missed Michael's dad's birthday, which is a biggie. So anyway, I had to offer my apologies. Oh, oh golly. So we, I talked to him briefly, so we'll call him back. And Michael's on the phone with him now, but I honestly just thought, well, what on earth? Because his face was so what happened? Who? What?
His voice. I was like, oh, I hope everything's all right.
I did too. It's like, because I hadn't heard that tone. I don't remember hearing that tone before. So deep breath. Anyway.
So I'm glad everything is all right. But
everything's okay.
Yeah. So as I was saying, here it is. I'm excited about you and my mom meeting. I'm excited about that because this is getting ready to be an incredible interview, and that's what I wanted to, get into and just start talking about. Because when I say, once again, that excitement I was telling you about earlier, that's how I feel about you with this new, beautiful, fun, hobby that you have found that makes you so happy, in the midst of, us connecting to be able to work on, the project that you're working on with the church. And like I was telling you the other day, I come up in the music industry where I'm used to being around what we call A&R reps and talent scouts. And they have the kind of vision to where they can see potential or talent, just in a room full of people. They just have that kind of special eye. And I have that gift as well. So, since our industry has evolved to where, the music and media industry has evolved to where now, people are able to find, they're able to take their gift or their passion. And just with that and understanding how to use this thing called, the internet and technology, they can do some things for themselves and for their life that their ancestors wouldn't have dreamed to do. Even if we just go back a couple of generations, So because that's the case, I still have the same eye and the same skill that was all applied to the music industry, but now I can see it amongst all industries and all walks of life, you know. And so what I was mentioning to you, and I can't tell you enough, I can't, like, as long as we are friends, I will always be sharing this story with you over and over and over again. Because the first thing that impacted me was your writing style, the way that you spoke when you wrote. You know, like I was telling you, you drafted up the notes from the meeting, you know, that we had, and you put it in your own words what I said, and it, I mean, it was almost like it stood off of the screen, like there was a quality to it that. The only reason why it hit me that way is because being an artist, I could see something or feel when something is artistic. You know, it goes beyond just the black and white. And so your writing style had a particular kind of eloquence to it. It had a particular kind of flavor to it, where it was intellectual, but also kind of creative and poetic. And I was like, wow. And what impacted me so deeply about that was I've never felt that way about somebody writing notes, like notes from a meeting. Never felt that way in life. So I was like, wow, this is special. And then it happened again and again. But that made sense as the more I got to know you and the more I listened to you speak and how you were relationally, it made a whole lot of sense. You know, this is just who you are. This is how you relate. This is how you think, you know. And so that unfolds, you know, all the way to, you know, where we are here. One thing I wanted to ask you about real briefly is, you know, since we've just gotten to know each other really in like these last 6 months, that's my assessment, you know, from who you are, you know, the eloquence of your writing or how you think with things. But, you know, for you, what's that like for you? Or not what's that like for you, but you know, what's your past that kind of brings that into perspective, you know, from like your education or your upbringing?
Okay, that's a good question. This whole experience for me is the result of what I asked for. I don't often realize I'm asking for something. I won't say don't often, but in this case, it was a subconscious request. It was right below the surface, because I have actually joked about it. What I've said was, I want to go to work, but I want to go when I feel like it, and I want to do something I enjoy, and I don't want it to feel like work. Now, when I was working, I was sort of addicted to doing what I was doing. It was like the obligation was so built into what I was doing that I found ways to make myself comfortable and found ways to feel creative, and I found ways to make the work meaningful because a lot of it was repetitive.
What kind of work are we talking about?
Okay, I still am a special educator. I'm retired, but I started off in the classroom. I always had special education as my field, and I always taught children who had some sort of identifiable label. Typically, they were students with learning disabilities or something similar to that, something like other health impairment, which would be ADHD or ADD. I did not work with a severely intellectually limited child, so it was a fairly narrow range of kids in terms of disabilities. And I started off in the classroom with an elementary setting. I stayed there about 8 or 9 years. And then I moved directly from the elementary to the high school level. And I did that for another 20, almost, oh golly, I don't guess another 15 or 20 years. The last 15, this is where the numbers get fuzzy for me because after a while it just all became a blur. I enjoyed being in the classroom. I found my niche, I found my spot, I found I was really effective working with students. Particularly students that other people said couldn't achieve, shouldn't be, you know, should not have goals beyond just being basically warehoused. And I had enough personal ego to say, well, they just haven't had me yet. You know, it's like, once I get in my classroom, boy, you watch what happens. Yeah. And the kids believe that, you know, they believe that because I set high standards for them and I told them what my expectations were. And I also, I would tell them, I would just make up stories. Yeah. That my favorite one was that I had spent the summer studying their folders. Now, kids in special ed had big, thick green folders that were several inches in width. Because by the time you get to high school, if you've been in special ed any length of time, there's all this documentation, all of these reports, all these assessments, the IEP itself, the individualized education program, which is supposed to be like a lesson plan for the teachers, thick documents. Well, I always found that stuff a waste of time. And this is how I was making my living, but I was observant enough to know that children respond to a large extent, as all people do, to expectations. You know, if you just, you know, make the assumption that a person is capable and then give them the space to demonstrate that, that's what will happen. So when I said to my students in September, in some form, is that I've spent all summer studying your folders. I have this particular group of students who've been assembled together because it's a blend of personalities and abilities. Some of you are really good readers. Some of you are really strong in math. I've got some artists in this room. I have some folks who have difficulty with reading, but I know that because I'm as good as I am, I'm going to provide you with what you need so your reading skills will improve. And well, they would say, well, who is that? I said, oh, well, that's personal information. I can't tell you which one is which. I said, besides, you'll figure it out. It'll show up anyway. And then I'd say, there's some of you who are really good writers.
Oh, your mic became muted for some reason.
My sister called me. If I get a phone call, it mutes me out.
Right.
The kids would think that there was a profile, and they knew I was talked to the administration, so they would assume that I had spent the summer planning with the administration who was in each class period. Mm-hmm. And so first period up, and I'd say, I arranged to have just this particular group of children together. You are this is a good group, and I can't believe that Mr. So-and-so listened to me and let me put you guys together. But thank goodness he did, because you wait till June comes, you're going to be amazed to see how far you will have traveled, how much you will have learned. And I would give this a variation of that speech to every period. So every class thought that they were the class that I had waited for all year to get from the previous year. And so, and sure enough, somebody would turn out to be a really good writer, and somebody would show up to be an excellent math student, because whatever class I was teaching, if it was English, I still involved math. If it was the math class, I still involved reading. Yeah. There were kids who didn't read well, but there was no secret to that, because I would have three levels of vocabulary words posted every week, and you pick the list that you feel comfortable with. I have my basic reading list, I have my grade level list, and I've got my college bound list. Now, if you want to work on the basics, that's a good idea, because that means if you miss something earlier, now's your chance to fill in the gaps. If you think you're pretty much on target, then you can pick the middle list. But if you want a challenge, you take the third list. I didn't care what they chose. Right. I said, you know, I can test you, but you know you better than I do. I said, why should I test you when you're the expert on you?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
They would select whatever list they wanted to work with, and then I let them grade themselves. I said, now, why should I grade you? Because you're the one who needs to know the work. I already got it. I know that. I said, my job is to support you. So they would exchange papers. They grade each other's work. So everybody got the reinforcement. Like I said, there's no shame in their game. Didn't matter which list you picked. So what is your score? They reported their own scores. I didn't touch their papers until I wanted to do a unit exam, at which point I really did need to know what they were doing. But for the most part, they monitored themselves.
So let me say this, as I'm listening to you tell this story, you know, I learned a lot about, it confirms even more of why I had the impression that I had so far, and even when you first impacted me, like I said, even with your writing style, because you have what I would consider this balance of creativity, pragmatic, nature and practical nature, but also open-mindedness, and then your area of belief in humanity and your belief in giving people the benefit of the doubt. You said something earlier, which you said a lot, so I can't remember exactly how you put it, but you basically, in a nutshell, what you were getting at was, instead of assuming that people can't do something, what you have the mindset more of is provide them the opportunity, the space and opportunity to be able to demonstrate. And
Correct.
that's something that's foundational to my way of thinking too, just as far as, I mean, it's literally the foundation of my secular humanism. It's literally that I believe so much in humanity that my way of thinking is always going in the direction of rehabilitation over incarceration, or giving us the benefit of the doubt, that we are good human beings, as opposed to that we are flawed human beings that are, mostly negative, and that kind of thing, and only do occasional good. Like I have more of an optimistic viewpoint on humanity. And so that's why I can totally relate to that. But in the way that you organize this, oh yeah, it makes all the sense in the world why even we're here at this moment, because it's what I see in you. You have a gift of, like I said, a balance of intellect and creativity and pragmatism and practical nature, as well as open-mindedness, is a balance that you have. So here we are, we're working on the project for OGOT, and in the midst of it comes up, making content for the Spiritual Arts Ministry, which, it is even more clear to me now why you would be a part of a spiritual arts ministry. You're a very creative and artistic person, and so, we're working on that project, and then, here we are looking at content that's about interviewing people, related to different arts and different walks of life. And then you find a newfound love that really it encompasses so much of who you are, in the expression. Because the one thing, I'm just like you, a student of learning, always interested in learning and that kind of thing. And there's no better way to learn than to talk to people, no better way to learn than to have conversations. So you found something in this that you really enjoy. And how many at date now, about how many interviews have you done?
I've done 13. I
13.
did one this week.
Love it.
Done my 13th one now.
I love it. So there's so much that I want to say to you, and what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna try to really do like a lightning round kind of vibe, so to speak, where I just want
Okay.
to shoot a lot of things at you. So with finding this, there's this newfound love of interviews and talking to people. You found something that honestly can do so much for your life, your goals, your dreams, and just happiness, as far as you engaging in something that really brings you joy. And you've already expressed that, how happy it makes you doing that. The best part about this equation is that you have the most low-hanging fruit, valuable expression that there is. And what I mean by that is, for all of us that are content creators, that whatever our goal is in life, like in my life, there's music and there's these other experiences that I bring, putting them through content, or creating content out of these experiences, is you're gonna have an array of different ways to do that, and it's gonna look, it's gonna be a varying array of content. But with what you do with interviews, there's not much that you have to do, and there's so much that you can accomplish. One of the best things, why I couldn't wait to hear how many interviews you did, is because every single interview you learn something. And I can imagine you're experiencing it now, but I can't wait until you get to interview 30 and you're able to experience this. You're probably experiencing it now, how much you grow each, but wait until you get to 30 or 50. Oh my goodness. But each one though is really big. Along the way, you're also establishing so many relationships, and then you're learning a lot because you're taking in so much information from learning from other people's experiences, which literally means that the number one way to become a better interviewer is just to interview people. Like, you don't even have to ever, a person never even has to go to school for interviewing, because you can learn things as far as, like, conversational techniques, but just the aspect of having a conversation and being able to bring something to the next conversation is just from that process. You, like me, are addicted to that, or I, like you, are, addicted to that. I love that process. So I want to help you with a few things that can, like, really set you on your way. We talked about, okay, so the first thing is, you have an incredible name. Okay, you have a number of things that fit within what I would say, like, if you're looking at an artist, it's like a whole array of things, and there's different categories. So I'm going to tell you are a sweet person. You're a beautiful woman who has a beautiful personality, and that already makes people love you, and it's going to make people love you.
Oh,
And then
thank you.
your name is Emma Brody, which it has a ring to it. I was even thinking about it. One of the things that in this process of what I'm going to give you some advice to do is, I think you should use the phrase or the term for something where it's labeled Emma Brody interviews. And it could be the podcast. It could be a number of things. But the reason why I'm mentioning your name is because that is one part of artistically what makes things pop. And your name has a ring to it, and it's going to be interesting because it rolls off easy on the tongue. It's easy to remember. And so all of your when we create your YouTube, page, or if you already have it, as well as Facebook, it's just that, I guess what I'm ultimately saying is, your representation online, the good thing is you have a good name because you're leading with something that's strong, right? That's the first thing. And so with these 13 interviews, I think from these interviews, as well as some of the other ones that you're getting ready to do, they should all roll over into your own stream of content. The reason being is because they're offerings that they don't take a whole lot to be, ready to present, because of the fact, the simplicity of the nature of them. And they immediately start bringing value immediately, because, like I said, interviews are the most one of the most chock full experiences where people enjoy because of how much they learn and experience through hearing stories. And so you have a very potent, potent and yet low hanging fruit, artistic expression, right? So the way that I would suggest that the direction that it goes as far as pouring into your own content would be on YouTube, Facebook, and then your own podcast.
The only issue I see with that is that everyone I have interviewed understands that they've been inter they are being interviewed because of spiritual arts through OGOT. Had this been up to me, it wouldn't have happened because I would never had that thought. And so everyone I've interviewed has agreed to that because they recognize the organization that I'm that I'm representing. So I don't honestly see how I could make that transition just by rolling over everything. You know, if there's a cutoff point and I say, okay, I'm going to do X number of interviews, that's for OGOT, then I'm, you know, I'm done with that. Then I can move on. I can certainly do them on my own, but I don't feel comfortable with rolling them over, because that was not the agreement that I had with folks when I, you know, encountered them to begin with. They agreed because it was, because I represented spiritual arts and OGOT.
Yes. So I totally understand what you mean, and I'll mirror it back to you. You don't necessarily feel comfortable with it because, like you said, the agreement initially didn't have anything to do with you having your own content and that kind of thing. It was for the spiritual arts ministry project. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely understand that. Here's one thing that, that I can give you that might actually give you something, another aspect of this equation. So from an artist's side, and this is me, even like how we're here, where I'm on this side and you mm-hmm. know, you're there. So I'm an artist right now. As an artist, the more exposure I get, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So as an artist, if there's an idea of my interview that I did with someone not only being a part of a spiritual arts project, but also being a part of a person's interview series, as well as showing up in a special broadcast of you know, a new movie that's coming out, as well as someone else who shares it, I'm actually more excited because of the fact that what it equals is even more exposure. So as an artist, I would never have an issue with an interview that I did, and that's a potential beneficiary as far as the type of exposure that I'm trying to get and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I would never be upset that interview was now actually in front of even more people where I could even receive even more of those benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it is understandable though, from a, an integrity standpoint, why you feel, mm-hmm. you feel, and that's why I want to mirror that first, because I can totally relate to that. But what happens is the way that it actually works is when you have that conversation, people go, "Are you serious?" So I get a chance to also be a part of your stream as well. Oh, that's amazing. And they don't even have the experience of like, "Oh," because it's actually, yeah, it works the other way around. An artist is interested in exposure, so they'll get mm-hmm. excited about the more opportunities it has for something that they did to reach mm-hmm. even more people. So that's one thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But the flip side of that is my conversation with OGOT and Spiritual Arts.
Yes.
The team, you know, the ministry. I don't even know how to phrase that conversation. It's almost as if I'm saying to them, "Well, I just took this opportunity and decided to use it for my own purposes," which is what that is.
Well, let me give you a different way to say it, and this is kind of how I was trying to sum it up the other day. So essentially, okay, the reason why I'm in this equation, right, and all the fun that we've had in this building process is mm-hmm. because when the project was first mentioned to me, I noticed exactly what you were saying, which is why I was chuckling when you said it. There was a ship that was going in a particular direction, mm-hmm. and I saw that all the right intentions were there and everything, but it was just sailing in the direction of a world that doesn't quite exist anymore, you know, and it was kind of be disappointed that the treasure that it was going for was, it was okay. It's like, all right, well, you know, and mm-hmm. so then what I saw was, you know, this is a place where I can assist because of the fact that, you know, they don't know. I mean, this is, I wouldn't know if I didn't know, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's the way that I've been working with OGLT has been that way for a while. And the way that I've been working with people has been that way for a while. The thing about this is, to be honest, this project that you all are doing is bonus. Now, I do understand agreements, right? So agreements are great. But what I mean is, this is a brand new world for OGLT. This is a brand new world as far as anything that they've, ever done or part of. So in essence, whatever work is actually being done in that world is actually bonus. And what I mean by bonus is, I mean, what you all get a chance to bring back is something that you took your own delicate time and interest to do. Right? So I'm essentially saying this. You all are doing the work and have your ears open and your eyes open, and you are fundamentally interested, and I've been generous enough to, be a part of the equation and to give. So we're all coming together to try to make something happen in that regard. In that process of a pool of different ideas, again, ones that now you have more of a clue of because now you've been on it, but that the staff or anybody, that hasn't been have no idea. In the midst of all these ideas comes a number of ideas that have the ability to and the potential to be put into action to reach goals for the church as a whole. These are just an array of and ideas. One of the ideas that comes out is an interview series, because it was initially a part of the original project, but in a whole new and different way. And in coming to that place and in all agreeing that, wow, this is actually a great idea, let's move on this, somebody has to step up and volunteer. And so someone stepped up and volunteered. And in the midst of volunteering her time and her energy, she also found that this is also something that she enjoys doing for herself. So, in essence, what I'm saying is that it actually is the opposite. It actually is the reverse from feeling like you have to say, well, here's something that you own or that is yours that I. It's actually the opposite, because this just happened to be, because of how everything unfolded, something that wind up not only being something that now you don't have an issue with doing. And that's why I asked you the question the other day. I was like, let me ask you one question. Do you feel, is the issue that you feel obligated? And you started shaking. I was like, bingo. So in this, fortunately, with volunteering your time, you found something that you don't mind volunteering a good amount of your time for. Church happens to benefit from that. They happen to benefit from your passion and your desire. It doesn't change around the idea of an agreement. It just puts it into better perspective so that you don't have to feel that way, because it'd be different if you had gotten hired for a job and you were getting paid for a job to do a particular thing, and then in that, then you found that, oh wow, this also would work for. And then you had to approach the party, in a particular way because of that. This is nothing like that, which is why I'm saying it's actually the reverse. You start off foundationally as a volunteer, and they benefit from any time that you invest in anything to actually help the ministry. So it's actually the other way around.
I understand that I'm volunteering, but it's almost to me like almost like intellectual rights. Intellectual property. Had I not been involved with OGOT, I wouldn't have come up with the idea. I mean, it's not likely. I mean, what maybe I would have, but the fact is, I only did that that we can document, that I can document
Yes.
under auspices for OGOT. And that's my hesitation in saying I can use material that developed. Up through this, up through this point, for example, if there's going to be a cutoff point, that's fine. I mean, perhaps I can just say, I'll do X number of interviews, and then anything that I do beyond that, will be me.
Let me tell you why. Let me throw is three things I want to throw in there. One thing is they actually, if I was on the side of OGLT, if you came to me with that proposition, especially once I saw the work you were doing, I would totally refuse that. I'd be like, no, please keep doing interviews. Because of the fact that what's happening here and what's getting ready to happen is you're getting ready to really start interviewing a lot of people. So what that means is that it's going to actually be twice the plethora of experiences. And as long as you remain gracious enough to want to share that because you just care about the whole, you're not like, then actually you would be delivering even more toward the ministry because you would just want it to continue to assist. And on their side, once again, they would be benefiting off the fact that you will continue. I do understand the intellectual property thing because, again, that's what I was thinking about that you might even experience. But, and it is true, yes, if you, this is just the serendipity plus intention that, you know, how everything came together. Right. You wouldn't have found this had you not been doing this for the ministry. But then it flips right back again. You might not have found this if you weren't doing it for the ministry. But at the same time, if you weren't who you were, then the ministry wouldn't actually be getting these interviews or even continue. Right. So here's the thing I think you should do. Because like I said, if I'm sitting in the other seat, I'm actually saying, Emma, we don't even need to have this conversation. By all means, we are, I mean, because we, it's an interview. Like, we don't have any reason for us to say, no, you can't. Like, we're like, wow, wait a minute. You guys are doing what? Wow, we're going to benefit from that. That's amazing. Wow. And so that's what I think you would experience more. But to, you know, for your own purposes, I do think that you should give it some thought, even to having the conversation, because yeah, it's one of those things where your passion, as you feel free to continue to flow, your passion for this is getting ready to benefit you as well as any entity that's a part of you. And that's why I'm sitting here with the biggest smile on my face, because what I want to help you with is continuing to streamline as well as far as doing interviews. I want to help you with taking those interviews and starting to immediately after you're done get into a routine of as soon as you finish hitting upload, you know, naming and just making it like a thoughtless, efficient, just kind of flow where it doesn't feel like work, it doesn't feel like a, you know, work and just start flowing with that. Because this is the powerful thing about interview an interview when someone has that gift. And one of the things that I was mentioning to you is that, you know, I see you as a great conversationalist, and that's the gift that I believe that you have for this. What happens is in no time flat, your interview series will become so valuable to anyone who has the ability to talk to you and be on your interview series that you're gonna have people starting to reach out to you and starting to want to be a part of, you know, being interviewed by you. And it's just because of the fact that, again, it's the easiest but most chock-full experience that doesn't take much to duplicate, and a lot comes from each one. So what happens is, you know, okay, I'll give you an example of it. I actually am the very first, and I'll go ahead and celebrate on camera. I'm actually the first beneficiary of that. Because as this continues to roll out, and as you know, I give you what I give you, and you keep feeling things out for yourself and keep flowing, I get a chance to actually be one of the first people that had, not one of the first people, the first person to
The
have
first,
their first Emma Brody interview. And that, and I'm saying that with regard to what I know going forward from that, you just have a, you have, it's almost like if I was out in a club and I was, or at a restaurant or at some venue and I saw someone who they were singing or they were doing something. I was like, wow, I could see like they had the perfect combination of X, Y, and Z. And it's not that the person next to them wasn't as talented. And this is coming back to why, we even had the conversation around why, even in the ministry, it was good for this to start out and flow with you, because this is like seeing a person who's really, who you see has it, they has it, and then with the right opportunity, it the magic is going to work itself, and you see other people who are also good too, but it's just a special thing that you see, and that's what I see in you. That's what I see in my mom with her, with her artwork and these kind of things.
Yeah,
So,
she's something else.
yeah. So I just want to help you with that. Of course, the first thing is just to continue to interview, talk to anyone and everyone you can. The second thing is, continue to document like you're doing and save. I'm gonna talk to you soon about a little bit as far as equipment is concerned, like nothing at all major, just like literally just a microphone and a pair of headphones. That's it. And then from there, continue to do that. And like I said, I think that the next like frontier and the goal should be the you. It should be and it could actually just start at one place. It could just start at one place. It could be that you just started, on Facebook or something like that. It could be that you just started a podcast. The one good thing about what you do is that one effort achieves everything, because of the fact, you're
Right. It goes to multiple platforms.
right.
Like
So
that one effort. I that is beautiful. That's the beauty of it. Starting with the Zoom interview,
right.
it can be posted, and it can go to the podcast. It can, and I don't have to do anything to it really. Just let it go.
Just let it, So that, and then the very last thing I'll say is, I want to help you with that. Well, that's the next piece. And then the last and final piece is just getting you used to operating on social media, just getting you used to, putting up a post and just flowing in a very natural way, like how you would, relate, in real life to real people. So.
Well, one thing I do want to share with you, I watched, didn't see the whole thing, but I saw a good piece of the interview you did with the, I think she was a minister at a church in DC where you all talked about,
Improvisation.
yes. And I thought, oh, that rang a bell for me. And it actually brought up Count Basie for me. The one thing that he did with his band, his orchestra, and I actually saw him, it was probably like his last few performances. He was a very old man back then, but I did see him, and he didn't play a lot of notes.
Right.
He just showed up at just the right time. He would just he put the finishing comment, the icing. He kind of And it was just, it was remarkable for me to see him do that. The band would just be, and he'd go, bing.
Yes, that is definitely the magic of Mount Basie. You're right.
Yes. So I actually started seeing that operating for me because initially I was doing a lot of talking and I thought, okay, oh, it's a conversation, yes, but maybe I can step back a little bit. And so the more I've stepped back, I felt myself going, bing,
Right.
bing, with a question here and there. So
Love I love it.
I want to thank you for that. I found that really enlightening, and it was the message I was supposed to hear. It was just wonderful. And I the interview I did this week was one where that actually had, and I could see it happening in the conversation. It was a very emotional interview, and it was Tiffany Guinart. Tiffany has been on a journey, a spiritual, intellectual, emotional, mental journey for much of her life, and she was able to wind her way through that whole life process, up through the present. and I could, you
Yeah,
know,
right.
show
That's
the things. It's been wonderful. So,
You're learning. This is again, and that's what this is why I say this is exciting because, what you're talking about right now is the art of conversation.
yeah, I can see that. I can see
So,
that. And the art of listening, you
right.
know, really listening, opened up a whole new universe for me.
Yes,
You
I love it.
know, so do I. Thank you.
You're
So
welcome.
do I.
This is why, and again, like I was saying earlier, with the big cheesy grin, I was like, this is why I do it. I mean, this fills me up more than anything. And so, yeah, this is exciting. So that's why I'm glad to have this conversation. I'm glad this is, of course, the first of a number of us walking you down that path. But I'm most of all excited because, again, what makes me most happy is if I can help somebody. That's Maya Angelou. I mean, not Maya Angelou. I can't believe I'm forgetting the name. Mahalia Jackson. If I can help somebody, and that's what it is for me. So to be able to help someone else, to when they found a gift in them, and for that to flourish, it just is, it's exciting. So yeah, we'll be talking soon. And yeah, and if you have any questions at any time, like even between now and the next time we schedule to talk, just shoot me a text. Because one of the things I want to start doing with you is when you have a question, if you shoot me a text, then in my travels, I'll have a quick moment where I can jump on Zoom, and I want to keep it going that way. I want to coach it that way. Yeah.
Okay, I can certainly do that. Okay, well, let me reflect on the things we've talked about,
Yes.
and you know, look at this, you know, like I always do, from a dozen different directions,
Right.
and see how I can proceed. I'm really excited about what the potential is for this, and I like helping people too, but mostly I'm just having a good time,
That's
and
it. Yes.
that's worth the price of admission for me right there.
And I'll tell you this, it's worth the price of admission for you and for all the rest of us. That's what's going to make us benefit from this so much. And this is why I'm even benefiting. I'm one of the first beneficiaries, honorably. But that's why, because this is fun for you. And again, that's why I'm so excited. I'm like, oh, this is, it's literally like discovering the next, and then just put a name in the blank. It's literally that. It's literally that. And I'm just saying that just from the perspective of someone who you see that has the potential for their goals to flourish through something that just comes natural to them, and just the right person to aid them on that journey. So yeah, with that, I'll let you go, and I'll send you this because we've been recording this for the same time. Well, you'll get a chance to sit with it, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, I thank you as always. You do phenomenal work just in your living, and I certainly appreciate that.
Thank you.
You you and your mom, y'all a dynamic duo.
Can't wait. Can't wait to see you all together too, because that's going to be a fun conversation. So, all right, Miss. Have a great one.
I will. You do the same.
All right.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye for now.